Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you can be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Jason, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name is Tyson Boyd. I work in the live entertainment industry. I'm one of the owners of the Starlight Room here in Edmonton, and we have a concert company called ConcertWorks. We do all genres, but primarily we are known particularly well in ConcertWorks through the punk, metal, and hardcore scenes.
Okay, there we go. So, let's chat about it. You work at one of the iconic establishments, one of the iconic in Edmonton. Like, I hear news stories about it. I go to this place. What's it like being the person who's putting together the vision of what people are going to spend their time with? Like, it's a cool spot, bro.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm biased, so I love it there. But, I mean, you know, in the past years, that I've been a part of it more directly, it was about July 2017. So since then, we put, we changed the downstairs. We brought a stage upstairs in the back where the temple was.
Yes.
And, we have downstairs as a pub restaurant. But a lot of what we do, we really try to honor the history of the venue itself and the people before us that operated it. Mm. I've always wished to continue its legacy. And then also just honor the history of Edmonton and, the musicians, past, present, future.
Yeah.
And, try to do our best to program evenly throughout most genres. Sometimes that could be a little bit of a challenge because you definitely lean to what you know a lot of times too.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, I've got some pretty specific specialties, I guess, that I work with. And nowadays it can be really challenging to keep up on all things.
Yeah, yeah. How do you?
Oh, I mean, multiples of things. I kind of find actually the most organic ways to be the most effective.
Yeah.
So talking to people just on the streets at the shows and kind of finding their interests. There's a number of resources on the internet that I kind of read and I still follow it. I kind of relate it to like looking at liner notes, because that's how I grew up. I grew up in a small town in northern Alberta and like pre-internet. That's how old I am. you'd have to like look at the liner notes, and I looked at the thank yous, and I'd see the bands that they were like into and like or toured with or that were in the pictures. I'd kind of start picking at those directions. So I kind of do that with a lot of different genres and whatnot. And just try to. I'm a music fan. I'm very passionate about it. So I do like to kind of learn about all things.
Yeah.
You know. And sometimes, some of it's you put a lot of effort into learning.
Yeah,
the varying genres.
It's completely different now. I remember when I used to look at records. One CD that I will always remember was the Junior Mafia CD.
Yeah.
Right? I pick it up. I'm like, oh, this looks cool. Looks gangster. But Italian gangster. Flip it around. I'm like, oh, I know who Biggie Smalls is. Like, you start reading because you couldn't listen. You're just in the store looking. And I remember taking it back to my friend's house. His older brother came. He's like, hey, I read about them in Jive Magazine. And all of a sudden, now we know more about this Junior Mafia.
Yeah.
And then you played and you're just like, boom. Not my favorite band or group by any stretch.
Yeah.
But I just remember the process of discovering music was so all-encompassing back then.
Yeah, big time.
So I love to talk to people now because I'm still a huge music fan. What are you using? You're not going to the store to listen. Like, are you listening on Apple? Are you on YouTube?
As much as I have a problem with it ethically, I use Spotify. I mean, I buy tons of records. I like support all my favorite artists but the thing is, Spotify is an industry tool. It's just kind of it's one of those things. I mean, whenever I'm talking with agents and managers and whatnot, they're not talking about how many records are sold that week or after the release. It's all about Spotify streams and whatnot. Streams, so that's right. For me, it's not really as much of a music player as it is like a resource.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, but again, ethically, I definitely have a problem with it.
No, that's fair enough. Now, from the local scene, though, because you are a local bar, you're not only just bringing in out-of-town talent.
Yeah.
How do you keep your ear to the scene, not just musically, but just the vibe of, like, we're still cool?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So that one's getting to be tougher for me as I advance in age, because, I mean, a lot of it is going out to shows and, like, being an active member of the community. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm actively involved, but, you know, I've got a lot of shows that tie me down to at the venue, and it's hard to get out to the other venues and check stuff out. So, again, it's more chatting with some of the local community, finding out, you know, bands will come to me and tell me about their new project, and, you know, I'll know their history and I'll kind of check it out, and I kind of know what their work ethic is like, I guess, and I know, like, you know, kind of roughly what it's going to be like, and I'll give them a shot, kind of throw them on a bill or whatever.
Yeah.
But I also do like to work with a lot of younger promoters and try to build them up, and you know, they're the ones who are very active in their communities and whatnot, and like, so yeah, for me, it's like helping them out, and in a way, it's like helping us kind of draw different parts of the community, because, like you said, it's like it's hard to be an expert in all levels.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah, yeah.
It's you know, I also only have so many minutes in a day, my own self, and that whole work-life balance thing.
All right.
It's always always key to keep, but.
Now I'm going to switch completely on topics for you. I saw you hanging out with Wobear, one of the DJs who was filming with us today, and I overheard you used to be involved in Farside or FS somehow.
My partner, Alad.
Yeah. I met him.
Yeah, yeah.
I met him at Purple City. You guys had your thing. I was watching wrestling with him outside with...
Oh, no way.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so Alad, he's another, like,
he's a cool guy, man.
He's a super cool guy.
Yeah.
And he's been active as an owner at the Starlight Room since the beginning of the Starlight Room. So early 2000s.
Yeah.
But he's massively built up community in Edmonton through skateboarding and those companies. I mean, retail has changed a lot over the years.
Of course.
But I mean, he was there through those key formative years of skateboarding in the 90s.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and a lot of, you know, a lot of musicians all skateboard and whatnot. So it really tied in quite a bit together. But yeah, him and I crossed paths. I used to run a venue called The Pawn Shop on White Avenue.
Okay.
And
I've been in that many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So they were doing concerts at the time as foundation concerts.
Yeah.
And I was independent. And, you know, they had a partnership kind of shake up, I guess. One of the partners moved, or one of their talent buyers moved down to Manitoba. Another kind of found another opportunity, and me and his other partners, you know, Ionides, we formed ConcertWorks at the time with another old friend of ours, Catherine Krushko, and yeah, we basically took what they were kind of doing and took what I was doing and amalgamated together, and that's kind of how the whole thing bled together into us partnering with the Starlight Room.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, skateboarder, snowboarder, what are
definitely
we
more of a snowboarder. I'm a Northern Albertan.
All right, yeah. Let's talk about it. Where in Northern Alberta?
Fairview, Alberta.
Okay, we're from Fort Mac.
Yeah, so I'm on the other side.
On the other side of it.
So yeah, I grew up in Fairview, Alberta. It's a small town. When I was there, 3,500 people, about an hour and 15 minutes north of Grand Prairie.
Okay.
Yeah, I finished high school in Grand Prairie. You know, I started working in the oil field. I grew up on a cattle ranch. I mean, I know a lot of people from Fort McMurray, and I think that we all kind of identify similarly.
Yeah, no doubt. So when you're snowboarding, what kind of board are you riding right now?
Oh God, I haven't snowboarded in a while, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things I kind of got busy in adulthood for. It's always something I need to go out and
do
more. Yeah. But no, I grew up on skis and then snowboard.
Yeah.
I remember when snowboarding was just fairly new.
Yeah. I have some garbage old snowboards like, because it was so new. Like, I just got rid of one. It broke my heart. It was a skateboard with four fins on the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it had, like, a plastic thing that you put your foot on.
Yeah.
It was a death trap. This thing, the bearings, it was... And my wife, she's just like, you got to get rid of this. You're never using it again. I'm like, yeah, but that's, like, old snowboard culture right there. Like, I got boards that I want to look at. but...
For sure. Like, it was very different back then. I remember, like, black snow or something.
Yes.
Like, that's, what you're talking to reminds me of, like, those black snowboards. And then I remember, like, the first edge board that I got. And, like, yeah, it was a very new thing at the time. And, now it's, like, light years ahead of what those times were like.
I'd go to hills and mountains. They'd be like, you're not allowed. Like, I remember in Fort Mac, you couldn't snowboard, but you could bring your GT.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, I can ski or bring my GT, which the brakes on that, I'm going to destroy your hill.
Yeah.
But I can't snowboard yet? They're just like, no, man, we don't. For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Know? Anyways, Jason, he gave me the swirly sign. That means we are out of time, unfortunately.
All right.
But before I cut you loose, you get a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
I mean, if anyone here has never been to the Star Lily Room, come check it out. It's a really cool space. We're celebrating 35 years this year. It's in a historic building, 100 years old. Again, I'm biased, but I love it.
There we go. Awesome. Well, for McMurray Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Naral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. I hope everybody's having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace. There you go, man. Good job. Awesome.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst. Really?